House Bill 1046 requires certain boats documented by the United States Coast Guard to be registered and to revise certain provisions regarding the numbering of boats.
Oh, yeah, that's that numbering thing.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deborah Hilmer, I'm the Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I'm here this morning to testify in support of this bill. And to just give you a little history about what House Bill 1046 came about, we took over boat titling, I think, in the early 90s. And with that, then we assumed the statutes from the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. And in years past, for some of you that have been here before, you've seen legislation in front of you that dealt with moving of those statutes from Game, Fish, and Parks over to the Department of Revenue. And one of the things that we have come up against in the Department of Revenue is the issue of what they call documented boats. And these are boats, very large boats, usually over 5 ton. So you mostly see them in the Owyhee Reservoir area or down in the Yankton area, where you see a number of these large boats that are obtaining documentation from the U.S. Coast Guard. And in doing so, then they have circumvented in a manner the tax, either the 3% excise tax or use tax on the boat. And what this bill is proposing to do is to fix that issue so that if there is a documented boat in the waters of South Dakota, that we ensure in some manner that that boat has been registered with us and has some type of indicia on it that indicates that it's went through that licensing process. Now, under the U.S. Coast Guard, you're required to document it. You can document it at the very beginning of the process when you purchase the boat. The fee for that is about $133. That's a one-time fee. There's not a renewal fee on that of any sort. The only time that you have to pay an additional fee is if you let that documentation lapse in some manner. Then you'd have to pay, I think it's like an $80 fee. So what this particular bill is addressing is those documented boats. And many years ago, there were not that many of them in the state, but over the years, we have had an increase in the number of documented boats. One, I think, because they figured out a way to get around paying tax on the boat when they put it in our waters. And number two, they didn't have to pay any licensed type of fees for the use of the waters of this state. They paid a federal fee, but they didn't pay any type of state fee. Federal law precludes us from titling. We cannot title a documented boat. But it does not in any manner preclude the states from doing some type of registration of the boat. And that is what we're proposing here, is a registration process. And when they register, then it will allow us the ability to then verify that the proper taxes have been paid. If they have paid them in another state, then we will grant them reciprocity. We have a reciprocity statute, so we will grant them reciprocity on any payment of the tax. But if they bring the boat in here, it's a brand new boat, and they've not paid tax in another jurisdiction, then we would subject them to our use tax if it's a documented boat at that time. So that's basically what the bill will do. I do have one amendment that we would like to present to you, and that would be in section one, in the very first sentence, and that's not the amendment that that I gave to you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a technical amendment. It read, any resident whose boat is registered and documented, and we'd like to amend that to read, any boat which is registered and documented.
What line is that?
That. Thank you.
Line seven.
Line seven. Check out resident and whose, and then after the word boat, insert which.
Okay.
That, okay.
I'll read the back side of
that.
I had that and changed it to which, but okay.
Okay, so the amendment that you're proposing on line 7, after the word any, delete resident and whose, and then after the word boat, insert that, so that it would read any boat that is registered.
Correct.
A motion on that amendment?
So moved.
Representative Conold and Representative Gordon Peterson seconds.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'll just explain why we're asking for that change. We want to level the playing field. So if a boat is brought in here by a non-resident and is being left here, it's a documented boat, but it's being left here for use on our waters, we think they should comply with the same requirements as our boats that are owned by our residents. So that is one of the reasons that we ask for that particular change.
Representative Flowers.
Well, if you go on from there, though, I think if you go down and read line 8 and it says required display South Dakota boat number or obtain, you probably won't have to change that somehow, or because can the boat obtain a South Dakota certificate? When you start out, you're talking about a person who had the boat.
Yeah, I think there would be some other language that needs to be addressed there, Deb.
You're correct.
Not only at that point, but, it says any boat that is registered and documented in accordance with United States Coast Guard regulations is not required. Well, you can't require a boat to do anything. Anyway, would you like to take some time and perhaps...
Could I please, and maybe we could hold this over to Friday, and I can work with Game Fish and Parks on it and get the language that they would like to see.
Okay.
If that would
Friday's
work for you.
Friday's a good day,
Yeah, Friday we don't meet.
Oh, okay.
But Monday it sure be fine.
Okay. That will work.
That'll give you enough time. Representative Flowers?
Just a question before you do that, Deb. What was the reason that you wanted to take out any resident whose boat is registered?
The reason that we want to take out any residents, because any non-resident that brings a boat in here and documents or leaves it here for the summer months has to comply with the same regulations. In other words, they have to put a decal on the boat as well for the use of the waters.
If you changed that to any person then whose boat is registered, would that change without doing all the other?
Yeah, it sounds...
I would leave that to LRC, but that would probably work.
What do you think, Mr. Botts? It would work fine?
And then the bill would be correct.
See, that wouldn't... Then it wouldn't necessarily have to be a in-state resident. Any person would be...
Representative Conold?
Is it a possibility that some outside corporation could own that boat, which would make the person...
I think corporation is still defined as a person, correct.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're okay there.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Would the makers of that motion and second care to withdraw?
I'll withdraw.
Oh, you're so kind.
Take care of it, and we'll do it again.
Okay, now getting back to your proposed motion would be any person. So instead of resident, it would say person.
Correct.
And everything else would stay the same.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I knew you guys would help me out here.
A motion would be in order to for that amendment. Representative Flowers moves.
Of course, we should have these on when we speak. As we're taped.
It would help, yeah.
So I make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Flowers moves that... On line 7, we strike resident and insert person. Is there a second to that motion? Representative Colnold seconds. Any further discussion on that motion? All in favor, say aye. Representative Hennings.
Thank you. We're just voting on the amendment to this bill.
That
not
is
voting on the bill.
We're voting on the amendment to strike resident and in its place put person. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chairman, I think you have an amendment before you that was presented to me by the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks today. And I'd like to talk a little bit about it. And then if there are some technical questions on this, I will have to defer to Emmett Keyser from the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks to help me with this, if that's agreeable with you.
Okay. Has everybody received a copy of an amendment to House Bill 1046 that was passed out? Okay. Yeah. Stacy, would you see that whoever needs that gets it? A motion to move the amendment would be in order.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Tupel. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Gordon Peterson. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is it adds another subsection to the exemptions from the numbering. And basically what it's trying to address is those boats that are brought in by non-residents for fishing tournaments, and they have no type of licensing on them whatsoever. So they may come from, let's say, a manufacturer may provide to a professional fisherman a boat, and with that boat there's no type of licensing that is provided with the boat, so it's really on our waters with no type of indicia or licensing whatsoever. And what it, rather than making them come in for that period and pay tax and actually obtain license for the boat and display the number, have to have the number displayed on the boat, we're looking to exempt them from the numbering but permit them to be on the waters with the purchase of a 10-day permit. The fishing tournaments, it's my understanding, don't normally last any longer than the 10 days, but it would allow for these boats to come in and use our waters and yet pay a fee for the use of the waters for that period of time. And that's basically what this particular bill will do.
Questions on the amendment? Representative Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is how have they handled it in the past on these types of... Yeah, they just came in with no license, or are we setting up another fee schedule here?
I would probably leave that to Emmett to respond to, because I think it's been handled in a multiple of different ways at times.
A number of different ways.
Excuse me, but you need to come up to the mic. We are on the internet, and it doesn't pick up unless your mic is on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Emmett Keyser. I'm the Assistant Director of Operations for the Division of Wildlife. To address Senator Flowers' questions, we have handled those in a number of ways. Of late, we've actually issued citations for those boats that have appeared here and not been numbered or licensed either in this state or another state. We have a number of large fishing tournaments that occur in South Dakota each year. These are tournaments such as hosted by Cabela's, In Fishermen. They're very large tournaments, national scope, and they're essentially high-dollar tournaments. That are permitted by the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. The professional anglers who come to our state, whether they're bass anglers or walleye anglers, are loaned or provided boats by dealers and manufacturers from other states. These boats then are taken around the United States to various fishing tournaments held throughout the country. In some states, they're allowed to be on the waters with only the type of documentation and licensing or no documentation and licensing from another state. In our state law is real specific in that we have a law that provides that they must be licensed in our state in order to operate. We've had some confrontations with our conservation officers and this is sort of a fishing tournament angler friendly bill, and would provide them an opportunity to have their boat licensed, would provide a fee to our state to be established by our Game, Fish, and Parks Commission, and would address those situations where they have boats that are not properly licensed and numbered, but would be only in temporary in nature. So,
one more question, my name is.
Yeah,
Trim.
Go ahead, Rip.
How would you do that, Emmett? Then the game warden would be, he would have the permits that he could sell them so that they don't have to go to a courthouse
or someplace. Most likely do, and Deb and I have talked about this just briefly, but what we would likely do is work specifically with the county treasurers in the areas where these tournaments are held. For example, we have in April professional tournament down in Chamberlain this year. Conservation officers are not allowed to sell licenses, but we could have a license agent or another member of our staff sell the licenses and provide those ahead of the tournament, or they could also purchase those through either Department of Revenue or the treasurers in our state. But the details of that are yet to be worked out real definitely, but it would only be a small number of boaters who come into the state. I'm going to guess maybe in the neighborhood of 30 to 60 on an annual basis.
Representative Abdalla.
Emmett, I see where you're going with this, but these boat manufacturers and, like you said, Cabela's and all those other sponsors allow them to bring the boats in, but I'm wondering why you got non-resident. I mean, is it okay for a resident to use a boat without a license?
Deb and I visited about this, and just about in every instance, our residents who live in South Dakota, you know, operate their boat at other times of the year to fish our waters, and just without exception, at least there are none that I'm aware of, they've all been licensed and the taxes paid.
Representative Dolly, you have another question?
Maybe you didn't understand my question. I'm wondering if, as a resident, say Lund or one of the boat manufacturers supplied me a boat for that tournament, mm-hmm. how would you handle that? I mean, it still wouldn't be licensed.
Because you're a resident of our state, what Deb and I have talked about is that under most circumstances, you can still have that boat licensed. Normally, the boat is what they call memo billed to an angler. And by being memo billed, they actually have documentation that boat has been turned over to them for a period of time. And through that memo billing, they're able to go up and pay taxes and properly license that boat. Now, non-residents also would be afforded to do that most likely in their home state, but each state's laws are different. Some states have sort of looked the other way and not really worried about these types of anglers. Unfortunately, in our state, we have a lot of fishermen who sit at the boat dock and ramps and watch these anglers come in. They know that they've properly licensed their boat, but they see these other boats come in and they don't have any documentation on them whatsoever, and they're not licensed. But in most cases, and Deb can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not aware that we've had any problems with resident anglers, because like I say, if they're a resident of our state, they know what the requirements are, they've properly licensed, they paid the taxes on their boat, because they want to fish throughout the remainder of the year in our state, and they can't operate.
Either I'm not understanding you or I'm not explaining myself, but
okay.
If the South Dakota resident is afforded one of those boats,
mm-hmm.
why shouldn't he have to pay a fee to use it for that? You were alluding to him paying taxes on it.
Yeah.
If he was just loaned that boat for the tournament, why shouldn't he have to pay the same one? I guess my question is, why couldn't this amendment say by a person who is participating?
Instead of a non-resident. Essentially, the resident, there's a long period of time where he's going to have that boat. Normally, they're provided for an entire year. It's not just for an individual fishing tournament. And so I would expect that most of those anglers would get those boats early in the year, maybe February or March. And if they're a resident angler, they're going to use them on our waters, you know, maybe starting the middle of March or whenever the ice goes off, the 1st of June up in the Northeast. But essentially what they're going to do is operate that boat year-round in South Dakota at various times. Now, they're going to go out of state as well and attend various tournaments throughout the country, but they're very cognizant of what our statutes provide, so it won't be a short period of time where he's provided that boat. It'll be an entire year, so they normally get him licensed.
Representative Kohlnold has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way I read this amendment, if I'm one of those individuals from Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever, and have one of these boats, and I'm not in a tournament, I don't have to buy this license.
You would still be, this essentially exempts you from needing to buy a license and provides an opportunity for you to buy a temporary license. You still would need, if you came into South Dakota with any type of boat not participating in this tournament, your boat would have to be properly licensed according to the laws of South Dakota.
Okay.
It only provides an exemption from the licensing requirement and allows us to sell this temporary license under those certain circumstances. But otherwise, if you came into our state, you would still have to purchase a license.
Representative Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, going back to Representative Abdallah's question, to me, I think what he was saying, or at least I understood it that way, that say Lund Boat Company provides me as an in-state resident a boat for to fish in that tournament. Now, that boat is not licensed in South Dakota. They're giving me a new boat. Is that what you're saying, I think? You're giving me a new boat to use. And his question, I think mine is also, somebody has to license that boat. And under this bill or amendment as you have it here, I don't think it would cover a resident having to do that.
It wouldn't cover a resident. Like I said, the circumstances that we've seen out there normally don't apply to a resident. You know, we can, and I would certainly be open to an amendment such as that that would allow a resident to the same opportunity.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might just go on. It would seem to me that if you would change that to any boat owner operated by a resident or non-resident, which is not licensed, has to buy the temporary permit. I just don't think you have it worded right for what you probably want to do, but I don't know.
If I may, at this point, Fred has informed me that there's some changes that he feels needs to be made to this amendment.
Okay.
To conform with just LRC drafting. I think it would be appropriate to take this amendment and rework it, and we'll delay any further proceedings on this bill until Monday.
Sounds good. We'll get a chance to visit about the resident, non-resident issue. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Hennies.
Mr. Chairman, I have another concern that maybe I should mention now before they go and rewrite this. And that's about the fee. It says a fee to be established. Doesn't say what the. It looks to me like it's just a blank check for the Game, Fish, and Parks. They could make that any amount they wanted to.
That's true. And part of the cleanup language that Fred is suggesting is that the fee will be set by rules promulgated. So that will be taken care of in the rewrite of the amendment. Yes, Representative Tupou.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, along that same line, it's confusing to me then, when those fees are collected, who they go to? Do they go to the Department of Revenue or the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission?
They go to the Department of Revenue, and then they're redistributed back. Deb could probably explain that.
There's another section of law.
Microphone, Deb.
Representative, in another section of law, it takes and it disperses the license fees for those back to the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. We keep like a $2 administrative fee, and then the balance goes back to Game, Fish, and Parks.
Any further questions? Okay. As it stands, House Bill 1046 has been amended on page 1, line 7. We have an amendment pending, and we will delay further action on this bill until Monday, whatever date that is.